overlooked the Messiah and dismissed him as a criminal. And so that was what happened at first. And all the record of that is in the scripture. And time is centered around Jesus. Doesn't make any difference what anybody else tells you. Realize this, it's 2020 because it's been 2,020 years since the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. No one else. And how do you think that happened? That's a very serious credential. And if you realize that, then you know that God wants you to think about who is Jesus and why did he come? And why was he rejected? The scripture says in Isaiah 53, he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Speaking of the time when he came and he was overlooked by his own people. So I want to use that for a subject today, overlooking Jesus. That's the most dangerous thing you can do. No matter who you are, no matter what nation, kindred, tribe, or tongue, or people you come from, or you happen to be in, if you can hear my voice, you want to be very careful not to overlook Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6 says. And without him, we can't do anything, John 15 says. He is the true vine, and we are the branches. See, and we can't bear any fruit without him. We can't do anything. We have no right standing, not just us, but nobody anywhere on earth has a right standing with God without a proper relationship with Jesus. And God has given Jesus in order for you and I to know that we're saved. He wanted you to see how much I love you. And that's the big thing. He loves you, and that's why the most famous verse in the scripture is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever, that means didn't make me no difference if you're black, you're white, all this controversy with racism and black people against whites and whites against blacks and Hispanics against Jews and so on and so forth. Erase all that. Nobody will be right in the presence of God without Jesus Christ, his son. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And he came for everybody so that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So to overlook Jesus is a fatal spiritual error. In other words, you will not survive overlooking Jesus. You might survive the coronavirus. You might survive the great earthquakes or great tornadoes or all the other things that you have already survived. It never took you out. But one thing that you will fail if you overlook Jesus, like has been done by others so far, and will be done some more on up until God stops it. That time is coming. You will not be a happy camper. I'm going to put it in modern terms. It will be a fatal spiritual error for you to fail to understand Jesus and overlook him. A lot of people want to do that. There's people who say they're Christians, and yet they overlook Jesus. They want to give Jesus a lower status than they ought to. And God says that we are to honor the Son even as we honor the Father who sent him. Find that over in the book of John, chapter 5, verse 18. Read in there if you like. And so God will not be excusing anyone who overlooks Jesus. He never has, and he never will. Now, he lets you live on. He continues to bless the world. You know why? Because God is merciful. His mercy, the Bible says, endures forever, although it does have a limit. The limit of his mercy for each of us individually as a human being is, how long am I going to live? You know what? I don't know how long that'll be. In all honesty, a whole lot of people, if we look now and see what's happening in the world, we see that over 90-some thousand in America alone have gone to meet their maker. You know, and they didn't know. They didn't have any notice. And I pray for all those families and feel so sorry for all of them who are suffering with somebody who was lost to coronavirus or whatever it was that took them out. And you know what? Doesn't make any difference, really, the truth be told. I hear people giving an argument. I've had some folks come online when I put up a comment about people rejecting God and rejecting his son. And they told me things like, oh, well, you know, and the whole thing with the government putting us on lockdown and all that. You know, and I don't know what their motives are. I'm not able to analyze that. Neither are these people. But they tell me all people die every day from car accidents and cancer and so on and so forth. Yeah, that's true. But you got that much time, however much it is. I don't know how much it is. Don't know how much I have. Don't know how much you have. But you got that much time to figure out what you're going to do about Jesus. So I'm behooving you today. Do not overlook Jesus. That is a fatal spiritual error that you will not survive ultimately. You know, God has given us all the time, all the years of our lives to consider Jesus. And he's put him in the center of the calendar to give you strong reason why you ought to at least investigate, who is Jesus and what do I need to do about him? Because he said, without me, you can't do anything. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And we've got this evidence because God has written it in the Bible. The Bible is the whole story from the creation all the way to the consummation, when God is going to eradicate sin altogether and there won't be any sin anymore. And the earth will be beautiful again as it was when he made it. And it won't be subject to corruption anymore. God is already planning all that. And he wrote it down in infinite detail in the Holy Bible. And so you will find the information you need there. And I know I'm giving you a lot of deep information, but you know what? God loves you so much. He wants you to know, I gave my son for you. He died. He took the penalty of death, which is the most scary thing you and I have to deal with. And he defeated death as it had been written of him in the scripture. Got out of the grave. Nobody else has done that. You know what? They got a body laying over somewhere over there in Lenin's tomb, I think it is, being pumped through with formaldehyde, which is kind of embalming fluid, and people line up for miles to get in to see this dead body. Well, I'm not interested in a dead body. Jesus' body got out of the grave after 3 days and nights, and he showed himself alive to many witnesses, and he is the only one who successfully has defeated death entirely. And he did it for you. That's what you need to understand. He did it for you. How did he get that important credential, being centered in time? It's because God raised him from the dead so that he would have a fame that no one else has. And he has did that so in order for me and you to believe on him. And whoever believes in him, as his decree, shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. So it's that simple. Get that straight. If you don't get anything else straight in life, please do not overlook Jesus. Understand that Jesus is the only way for you or me or anyone. I don't care who you are. The Pope in Rome needs to trust in Jesus. Whoever, name somebody anywhere on earth, God wants them all to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in order that they may be saved. That is the mission of the church, and it's a co-mission because God said, go ye therefore and teach all the nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you. See, he is with us. That's the important thing, even to the end of the world. He said, I'll be here with you until we wrap this whole thing up. And John says he was watching and beheld as the whole heavens and earth fled away, and there was no place found for them. So God's going to roll this up. So you earth worshipers, God says, you think we're doing something to destroy it. Wait till you see what I got coming up for it. So don't get your hopes set on the earth. It's not going to help you at all. I want you to understand God is going to roll this whole thing up like he promised, just like he rolled it in. And we got the scientists talking about a big bang. You want to talk about a big bang? Wait till you go in that casket without Jesus, if you want to understand what a big bang is. So I don't want you to overlook Jesus. This is the problem that the Jews made. I want to give you a homework assignment because I don't have a lot of time. I try to keep these messages minimized in time, and sometimes I get carried away, but I don't want to really do that today, so I want to go ahead and take up our text here today, and I'm trying to put my timer back on my clock here so I can see where I'm at here. So anyway, let's take a look here. When you get a time, your homework will be Deuteronomy chapter 32. Read that, and that summarizes what God did as far as the Jews and their rejection of Jesus. And he said this before they did it. Through Moses, hundreds of years before he came, he already wrote it down that when people get prosperous, they kick against authority. And we see that all the time. You know what else? I forgot to congratulate all our 2020 graduates. You had a very odd year, but we want to celebrate you too because you're doing a great thing. And it was a weird year for that because you didn't get the same treatment other people have gotten because of all this craziness. But we say thumbs up to you. Keep it up. God loves you. And he'll take you through. And even though the time is strange, you have done a wonderful thing, and we thank God for you. So let's move on here. Israel, God's chosen people, are set for all the world as an example when they receive the manifold blessings of God. They were not satisfied, even though God had held them as the apple of his eye and flooded them with overwhelming grace like no other people on the earth. That's what the story of Israel is. And don't accuse me of bashing Israel. I love Israel because God loves Israel. But you know what? He came to them in the flesh. He was born, according to the scriptures, in the flesh right on time, right when he promised that he would come. And he knew what would happen when he did come. And he accurately predicted everything. The receipt of Christ in, as coming in as the Messiah, which was his promise and his solution for the problem of sin with the whole world, you know. And he introduced that. It's all in the scripture. Every little bit of it in gross detail, starting in Genesis, clear on through Malachi, tells the story of how Messiah would come, what he would do, and how he would accomplish restoration and redemption for the whole world. And so all that's right there in the Word. So what happened? It says in John chapter 1, Jesus came to his own, and his own received him not. But unto as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called the children of God, even those that believe on his name. So he came, and he was on a mission. He knew he would be despised and rejected, a man of sorrow, and acquainted with grief, as Isaiah had written, and that he would be pierced in his hands and his feet, as the psalmist said, and that he would also defeat death and the grave. So many of the Old Testament texts let us know this. And so all of that happened, and you know the problem could be summarized when Jesus came, only a few of the Jews, those whom he had called the 12, and some of those around him, a lot of women, a very core group of people. By the time the book of Acts chapter 2 comes, there was 120 hardcore believers, for lack of a better term, that were in the upper room waiting on the promise of the Father to come upon them. See, and so the church started with Jewish people who believe, but God has never rejected Gentiles at any time. You'll find that's also true throughout the entire Old Covenant. And we got people that we could bring to the witness stand, Ruth, the Moabitess, or the Moabitess. We could bring Rahab, the harlot. We could bring Naaman, the Assyrian. We could bring so many people that were considered as Gentiles that God saved. And that's all through the scripture. So God has never been against anyone, and he always wants all people to be saved, but he has a plan how he plans to do it. And so his plan was to send his own son when the fullness of time was come, as Paul writes to the Galatians, Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, born under the law, to redeem us from the curse of the law. So basically, Jesus came, and what happened? The Jews overlooked him, said he was not the Messiah. He is not the Son of God. He is not the Christ. And right now what's going on, I'm just going to try to put these things in a nutshell because my time's getting away quicker than I had hoped. Right now what's going on is the Jews as a nation are still rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're planning to build a temple, which God already wrote. All of this is written in the scripture. And you won't be able to see it unless you believe. If you believe, you will understand it. People read the scripture and they don't understand because Jesus said, seeing they shall not see and hearing they shall not hear, and neither shall they believe with their heart that I, or else I would heal them. See, so you have to have faith and trust and believe that God has sent the Savior, and he did it for you. And this is something you cannot afford to overlook. God sent his son for you. He loves you just like you are, and he will fix everything that needs to be fixed in your life. You get fixed immediately. It's not a thing you wait on. The moment you believe, God fills you with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will help you understand what God has written in his word, and then you will be able to take advantage of it. Let me share a quick verse or two here with you to give you a nutshell of what I just said. And we normally hear this at Christmas time, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth and even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. See, so God said right there, I'm going to raise up of the seed of David who had been dead generations before Isaiah wrote this text, my son, and see him on the throne of David. And that happened 2,020 years ago. Well, what's it called? Really about less than, right around, Jesus was 33 when he was crucified. So it would have been approximately 2,000 years ago, to give you a round number, that the Messiah did come right on schedule. He had a 3.5-year ministry, and it ended with him being crucified on the cross, that portion of it. He died, and he was buried in the grave, and after 3 days and nights, he rose with all power in his hands. And he showed himself alive to his disciples to let them know that what God has written is true. And it's the only way anyone can be saved. We call that good news the gospel. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to whosoever, that includes you and me, believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So God never wants to destroy anyone, and he's made a way so that anyone who trusts him and believes him can be saved. So if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. The prophecy says that of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. See that? He's got an everlasting kingdom. Read Daniel 7, too. Add that to your homework list. Daniel 7 will tell you more about this coming kingdom. And this, you know what, the first part of this prophecy has come to pass. For unto us a child is born, that's Messiah, the Mary's baby. And unto us a son is given, that's Jesus crucified at the age of 33. And this part, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, is yet to come. Because he has never ruled and reigned over the whole earth, but it's coming. That time is coming, and it won't be long. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. That lets you know that he will have authority over the whole world. The scripture says there's coming a day when the kingdoms of this world will belong to the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall rule and reign forever and ever. So this is what we're looking for. We're looking for a kingdom where the ruler of the world, unlike the rulers of the world now, will be absolutely perfect because he will be God in human flesh. And then we will see what actual good government looks like. We haven't seen it in our lifetimes, and no one else in the history of time. Human government is God's idea, though. You can read that in Genesis 9, verse 6. God is the one who established human government in order to give man something to protect him in the time, in between time that he sends his son and the time that his son Jesus rules and reigns on the throne. And so we're getting there. But where we're at now is a critical time in history, and there is things being made in addition to what the Jews are doing. The whole world is coming together, and there's going to be a situation where Antichrist will arise, the scripture says, and he will mislead many. And because iniquity shall abound, Jesus said, the love of many shall wax cold. So people are going to be deceived by an Antichrist who claims to be the Messiah. And the Messiah has already come. So all of this we see going on is going somewhere. It's going to a place where the people who overlooked Jesus the first time still think they're going to be looking for Jesus now. But what they're doing is making preparation for the world ruler known as the Antichrist, who will mislead many. He will be energized by Satan himself. There will be the beast and the false prophet. And here I got a glimpse of it here for you in Revelation 13 and 1. And John, the writer, says, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon, as a dragon. And he executed all power over the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. So who this consummate ruler is going to be, he is going to have a situation that looks like he died and rose again. Here, you can see that the validity of the death and the resurrection of Christ, because the Antichrist is going to try to do it himself, and he knows he needs to do that in order to be in sync with the scripture. So he can mislead the people who overlooked Jesus the first time. See? And so that's why I keep saying to you, at this time, we do not need to overlook Jesus. That'll be the worst thing we ever did. It will be a fatal spiritual error for us to do that. And so it's necessary for you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Moving on in Revelation 13, this ruler who will be known as Antichrist, you hear a lot of talk about 666 and all of this stuff you're seeing. And this is real stuff. It's been written in the scripture for over 2,000 years. So, you know, when you get faith to believe Jesus, you'll be able to see how crystal clear the Bible is. It'll come alive to you, and you'll begin to understand what's really going on when they're talking about COVID-19 and all kinds of artificial intelligence and chips and things being put in people, folks being marked with the mark of the beast. And there's a big push now to overcome and take control of the world by the Antichrist. Here in Revelation 13, it says in verse 13, and he does great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. They just tested a weapon on a ship just the other day out in the sea about a laser that they're shooting aircraft out of the air in mid-flight. And they just tested it. It was on the news. You may have seen it even on Facebook. And so people are doing these kind of things, and it's going to be used as part of the trickery that the Antichrist uses in the last days to deceive the multitudes who do not accept Jesus the Messiah, who is the only Savior of the world. There is no other. And so that's why I tell you, do not overlook Jesus. You need him. You know, he loves you. That's why he did what he did when he came the first time and was overlooked by his own people. And so moving on here, Revelation 13, 14, and he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which he had the wound by a sword and did live. See, so it's going to be a fake resurrection and a death of this Messiah. And some people are going to be deceived into thinking he is the Messiah, including those original Jews who are now the descendants of those Jews for 2,000 years, who overlooked Jesus to start with. You do not want to overlook Jesus. That's a terrible thing. That'll be the worst error you ever made. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that many would not worship the image of the beast, that who would ever not worship the image of the beast should be killed. See that? So there's going to be forced worship to worship the Antichrist, who is going to put his seal on everybody, his mark, and fix it where you cannot buy or sell. Do you notice that we're getting a trend pushing toward cashless stuff in our culture? Well, everybody wants you to have Apple Pay or different kinds of pay with your phone and pay with anything except with money, no cash. They want to get rid of cash and have it be a cashless society. And this is where things are heading. I'm not making it up. It's happening to you and me right now. So you need to know the scripture is perfectly accurate, and only Jesus can save you from the confusion and the Antichrist who's about to come and deliver these things that we're speaking of here. Verse 16, Revelation 13, and he causes all, both small and great and rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand and on their foreheads, or on their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he had the mark and the name of the beast or the number of his name. See that? So this is where we're heading, the mark of the beast. Understand that. It's going to be very tricky. And you know what? We're pushing for it now, and they're doing more and more to get you to say it's okay to take a chip in your hand or in your forehead. And you know what? The younger people who are overlooking Jesus today, they better watch it. I mean, it has an upside. They're going to say, oh, you know, if you can do non-touch stuff like they're saying now, this virus has been part of what has promoted this also, because folks don't want to touch anything. We want you to wear gloves and masks and don't touch nothing. So this is part of the push you toward taking a chip so you don't have to touch. I can just hold my hand up there and buy what I need, and I don't have to have money and exchange money back and forth. So it's, all of this has a part, something pushing toward the agenda of the Antichrist and the people who have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. So you do not want to overlook Jesus, no matter what you do. You need him. And he's already written this down. You know what? There'd be no way this stuff could be this accurate. Nobody has written any more in the Bible since Revelation was finished. And that was back in the early church, way back 2,000 years ago. Amazing. And so you'll see that as you get into it. So the core teaching of the Bible is centered around God's love and mercy toward mankind, who at the very beginning fell into sin and to bring inevitable sentence of death upon all mankind because of Adam's transgression against God's law, to which God Almighty immediately stepped in and providing grace and mercy and the prophetic proclamation of the gospel of his only begotten Son, Jesus the Messiah, the only Savior of the world. And so God began to proclaim Christ from the very beginning, and he's still there for you today. This is the only plan God has. He's not confusing, and he is not the author of confusion. He doesn't want any of us to be confused. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one gospel, one way to be saved, and that is through faith in Jesus Christ. So the Old Testament is comprised of the details of God's plan of redemption, a fallen mankind to restore a perfect kingdom to all people over which God's Messiah, Christ, the Redeemer, the perfect prophet, the priest and king. Jesus is the only one that has all those credentials. He's prophet, priest, and king. That he would come and at the precise time in history, such as predicted in Isaiah, to establish a perfect way of salvation that shall be opposed by a fallen mankind and all its corrupt governments, which shall culminate in the one world ruler known as the Antichrist, who shall deceive the multitude of unbelievers in the last days. See that Antichrist is coming. He wants to deceive you, make you think he is the Christ and the Messiah, and all those who already overlooked Jesus, they're looking for it. They're setting up the world in order to receive him right now. So I want to be clear to you today. You do not want to make the fatal spiritual error of misunderstanding and overlooking Jesus. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, only one with the solution to death and the grave. And so you need to understand that. That's the truth. And research it. Find out, is the pastor telling you the truth? So the Jews, through pride and religious ritual, rejected Jesus at his first advent and crucified him. As it was written in the scriptures, God wasn't surprised when Jesus was crucified. He predicted that Jesus would be crucified when he came to his own. It's all written in bold detail in the Old Covenant from Genesis to Malachi. And you can understand it if you believe. So they tumbled into 2,000 years of unbelief, the Jews, and will in the last days pave the way for the Antichrist, the ultimate deceiver, who will demand all financial control of the world and the worship of himself, and be energized by the devil himself, who will cause the damnation of many during his reign, who all, as all who rejected Jesus, the true Messiah, will be deceived into eternal destruction of their souls, which is the end result of overlooking Jesus. That's what happens. If you overlook Jesus, you forfeit your eternal soul. And it's not annihilation, people. It is complete destruction, everlasting destruction away from the presence of the Lord. And people don't like it when you preach about hell, but that's what hell is. It's being separated from God, and you will be tremendously sorry if you don't believe me. I am the spokesperson for God, as the church is. And you need to believe him. I'm not telling you what I see, and I'm telling you what is written and what God has decreed for all men, women, boys, and girls everywhere. And God is not confused. There is one way to be saved. His name is Jesus. Time is configured around him. He did that so it would be easy for you to believe him and to know that you're saved. So trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that God has raised him from the dead, and you shall be saved. That's what we preach. And we want you to understand that. You know what? The church has become enamored. I'm about done. So I know you want to get to those biscuits and birds of prey and all that kind of good thing. But I'm going to conclude by saying that it's a very, very critical time in history. And there's no time. The church, if you read the book of Acts, you find out the church wasn't preaching about wealth and prosperity and all that. They were preaching the gospel. That God has given his son, and he has declared that there is no other name under heaven which has been given among men by whom we must be saved. Only Jesus can save you. And so we want to make sure you know that. God will take care of your riches and your wealth and your house and your car. He knows how to take care of that. He can provide that. That's easy. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But the focal point needs to be, I need his Savior, his son, Jesus Christ, my Lord. And so if you trust him, that's what I'd like to lead you in prayer right now to do. And believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Pray with me. Eternal God, in Jesus' name, we bless you. We praise you. We thank you for your word. Thank you for your son. And Father, we ask you to guide people to repentance, to believe that he is the only Savior, the way, the truth, and the life. And you promise that if they believe in him, that they will not perish, but have everlasting life. You did not send your son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And so, Father, today we ask you, bless those who are believing. Keep those who already believe. Empower us, O God, to carry your message even to the ends of the earth. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. Protect every person under the sound of my voice, and every home that's represented here, against the evil things that are coming up on this time as a result of rebellion and disobedience, that we may walk by faith and not by sight. And we'll promise to give you all the glory and all the praise. this in the name of Jesus, your risen Son, who you have exalted to your right hand, that we pray. And all the saints all together said, amen. Go ahead and give God a hand praise. If you're saved, thank him. If you just received him today, go ahead and thank him. You are saved. Don't let the devil tell you you're not. Because God has one way that you can be saved. And he's already made that plain through his Son, Jesus the Messiah. So don't overlook Jesus. That would be a horrible thing. The most worst bad mistake you could ever make. And pray for these people that God is sending to the world who are coming up with cures for diseases and all that kind of thing. I really pray that that young lady is on the right track. I believe what she's written that I read looked really good. And so that's what my hope for the world. So we want to say thank God to all of you. Happy birthday to those to whom it is your birthday. I saw a few of them out there. Thank God for all of the you who are listening. We're going to go ahead. I'm a little over my time, but I had a few more things on my spirit to share with you. And other than that, peace out. Amen.